May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our salvation. Amen. These scriptures about wealth would be so much easier to preach on if I didn't live in a nice house in West University. They're clear that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. In the parable that Jesus tells his disciples in their day and us today is rich in meaning and reversal. And it's scary in many ways. The cruelty, the suffering. I have been rereading the book from lay theologian Anne Lamott, Dusk, Night, Dawn on Revival and Courage, in which she wrote, I'm always hoping that at church or in spiritual meetings, someone will say the exact right thing that will save me from my bad mind and worries that day. She writes that she asked herself, what might be the exact right word I need to hear? And in that moment, she remembered a story a pastor friend of hers told her about her grandfather, who had been a pastor too. So just to make sure you're with me, the story I'm about to tell is the writer Anne Lamott's friend's story about her grandfather, the pastor. With me? All right. So the friend said that when she was young, a friend asked her what he, her pastor grandfather, did. And she replied, every Sunday, he stands in front of everyone and tells them that they are beautiful and God loves them exactly the way they are and they really don't have to worry because they all have each other. But then by Tuesday, they forget this. So on Sunday, he goes back to their church and tells them that they are beautiful and God loves them just the way they are and they don't have to worry because they all have each other. They need to hear it over and over and over again. And I think of how the rich man, unnamed in the parable, never heard those words or forgot that story every single day of his life. He didn't even get from Sunday to Tuesday. He didn't get those 3 days. I don't think he ever got it, as Jesus describes him. But it wasn't because God wasn't trying to tell him. You have Moses and the prophets. We have communicated love and God's will so many times that even if someone was raised from the dead, and there Jesus is identifying with Lazarus, they would not believe him. I feel like there's this sort of inside joke among pastors and church communicators sometimes. They've even made a t-shirt that goes around the memes every once in a while that says, when someone says, well, I didn't know that was happening. And the t-shirt says, it was in the weekly email, it was in the bulletin, we sent out a text, we even sent out a phone call, right? This has been communicated. God has communicated that we're supposed to take care of each other, love each other, and in that way, we are beautiful. And God loves us where we are, But if we receive God's love, we're not supposed to stay there. So the rich man made a choice, and then he justified it, and he didn't consult God again. He just went on about his life. In that same book, Lamont also wrote that as a Christian and as a person in recovery from addiction, she continues to believe that love, God's love, is sovereign here, in the here and now. And that manifests in serving the poor, in reaching for beauty, and in rest, which is self-care. And once we've done that pattern, once we serve the poor and reach for beauty and rest, it's time to look around again and see again whom we can serve in God's name. And this serving and this beauty and this rest will fill our souls. That is what the rich man in the parable did not get or do. He made a choice not to see, not to serve, not to recognize beauty in the other, not to rest and open his heart to the world around him, not to be filled with God's gifts and graces because he thought he had enough. He made a choice to be filled with his own privilege and power. And he saw in his privilege and power God's blessing. So he could be apathetic and cruel. His was a power over others, not the divine power of being with others. And he read God wrong. Our faith in the Jesus who tells this story, again, of great reversal and of great suffering. Lamont writes, is to never give up, teaches us to never give up on intimate friendships or science or nature or compassion. Love is the mastermind of all of that, of friendship, of science, and nature, and compassion. God's love is the mastermind. The soul of genius, she quotes Mozart as saying, is love, love, love. We need to stop racing and to savor beauty, to look up from our screens at the weather, at one another's faces, at the ocean, the desert, a garden, the bayou, she didn't say that, and architecture. When we listen to this parable, it's not hard to see how soulless the rich man had become in the face of the intense suffering of Lazarus, right there, right at his home, with wounds so woeful that even the dogs felt sorry for him and licked his wounds to try to help him. The rich man who had every means to help did nothing, even though he knew Lazarus's name. He did not call out to him. He did not offer him support or service or compassion. The soul, Lamont writes, is the thing underneath that is so hard to express because it is so far from regular, expressible human endeavors. It's that watchful part of our consciousness that knows, that remembers to look up from the bar or the desk or the computer, the schedules and the phone. And I would say that the rich man never looked up. Mark 8:36 asks, What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul? And the answer in the parable today is suffering. It brings suffering. The rich man thought he was exceptional. Blessed by God, and the proof, like I said, was the wealth and the power that was his. In our day and age, to me, that sounds a lot like what is being passed off as Christian, and specifically Christian nationalism. You're going to hear me talk about this a lot, as long as it has a stronghold on so many of our brothers and sisters in faith. Christian nationalism promotes American exceptionalism, quote, and political goals, rather than the gospel's call for universal love and justice for the marginalized, of seeing Jesus in Lazarus. It misuses biblical texts to support nativist, white supremacist, and authoritarian ideologies that contradict core Christian tenets. Sounds like a definition from some deep liberation theological text, right? No, that's a Google definition. Just Google Christian nationalism. That's what it is. I also recommend that you Google why Christian nationalism is not biblical for a good read. We don't like litmus tests in our church, and for very good reason. But I think that in many ways, Lazarus can be considered a litmus test for putting Christ back in Christianity, or for keeping Christ in Christianity. In the mess of this world, with all kinds of evil trying to pass itself off as Christianity, this parable makes it clear that, as the saying goes, God don't like ugly. And obviously God does not like inequality either. God does not like apathy. God does not like cruelty. God does not like uppity. So this parable, in many ways, it's about so many things, but it's also about the spiritual principle of humility. Lazarus is lifted up as being invaluable, even as he is deeply, grotesquely humiliated here on earth. And the rich man is given as an example of someone who has lost all concept of humility. Even as he burns in the flames of Hades, he does not get it. He keeps trying to boss Lazarus around. In many recovery communities, humility is the seventh step spiritual principle, which goes, we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And in those same recovery communities, I've heard this saying. They say humility is not thinking less of ourselves. It is thinking of ourselves less. So today and every day, our call is to remind each other that we are beautiful and God loves you, loves us just the way we are, but does call us to grow. That we don't have to worry because we have each other if we will ask for help and open our eyes to see. We're called to follow through on those words with gestures of generosity and healing and friendship. And in that way, fill the souls, heal the souls of those who are sick, including our own. Timothy's Paul's letter to Timothy concludes that to be rich, we are to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for ourselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that we may take hold of the life that really is life. Amen.